Let's read through this again. Down through about verse 46 here, and we'll just start there. John 4, 43. Now after 2 days, the Lord departed thence and went into Galilee. Now the Lord had called many by His word, by His grace there in Samaria. And now He goes into Galilee. For Jesus Himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Now the Lord's town was Nazareth in Galilee. But He didn't go to Nazareth because they didn't give Him any honor there. They considered Him to be a despised person, not to be a prophet of God, not to be a needful one to listen to, not one to hear. They ridiculed Him. Instead, He went into the more rural parts of Galilee, went to Cana. And it says, verse 45, then when He was come into Galilee, the Galileans received Him, having seen all the things that He did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. These were Jews that were despised by those in Jerusalem, by the Jews in Jerusalem. But they traveled all the way to Jerusalem to worship. They went there because that's where the Lord had, word of the Lord had come to them and told them to go to Jerusalem. And when they were there, they saw Christ work more miracles. Maybe some of them had seen Him in Cana when He worked His first miracle, but they went there and saw Him work miracles at Jerusalem. And so when He comes down now to where they are, they received Him gladly. Verse 46 says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee. That's where He made the water wine. That's where He worked that first miracle, you remember. All right, here's the first thing. We see that honor is due to Christ Jesus the Lord. Honor's due to Him. Now, the Word begins in John 1, and it tells us there in John 1, 1, that Christ Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, the essential Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. The first creation was made by the Word, God speaking. Christ the Word, the Word. And we read on down the page here, and it says, and the Word, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now we know who it is, don't we? It's Christ. Christ came. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know what He said that He did when He turned that water into wine at Cana? He manifested His glory. Manifested His glory when He did that. Well, then we read here that over here at that He came to Philip. And when He came to Philip, I didn't write the exact verse down, but when He came to Philip, He called him. He spoke. The Word spoke the Word. And He said, follow Me. And Philip turned and he ran. And he found Nathanael. And he ran and he told Nathanael, he said, we have found Him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Actually, Christ found him. But you know how we get it backwards. We found Him. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And the Lord referred to what Philip did when he went to Nathanael as Philip calling Nathanael. You see, the Lord called Philip and said, follow Me. And Philip believed. And Philip went and told Nathanael. And through Philip's word, Nathanael believed. Well, in our text, in verse 45, it says, then when He was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received Him, having seen all the things that He did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. They lived a long distance from Jerusalem, and they had to go through Samaria to get to Jerusalem. And there wasn't a Jew living that wanted to have anything to do with the Samaritans. But they went through that land to get to Jerusalem, because the word of the Lord said this is where you go to worship. And that's where they went. They went all the way up there. When they got there, they saw the Lord work miracles in Jerusalem. And so they had honored him in going up there to that feast. And they saw him work miracles. And so now he comes to where they are. He comes there and he passed by those in Nazareth who denied him and who would not honor him. He passed them by. He didn't go to them at all. And he came to these Galileans out here in the more rural parts of Galilee, and he went to Cana back there. And then we're told here that there was a certain nobleman who came because he had heard. He heard. Look at verse 46. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. He heard this, and he heard where he was, and he went to him. He went to where he was. Christ went everywhere he went, preaching the gospel, and this man went to where he was. Now, where Christ has sent his gospel, those that have heard him, those that have believed on him, they gather to hear him. They gather to hear him. That's not a... you don't have to twist their arm. You just don't. They want to. They gather to him, literally to hear a word from the prophet. Is that why you came today? Did you come here today to hear a word from the prophet? That's why I came. I came to hear a word from the prophet, Christ the Lord. And these Galileans, they had seen when they were up there in Jerusalem, they've seen what we see by faith, by God-given faith. They saw the miracles he did at Jerusalem. Have you seen the miracles he did at Jerusalem? That's what we've seen. If we believe him, that's why we believe him. We've seen what he did at Jerusalem, the miracles he did at Jerusalem. We saw him go to Jerusalem and lay down his life. We saw him go to Jerusalem and willingly was he subjected himself to the Father and was made sin for his people. Willingly, he bore the wrath of God's justice for his people. And through his righteous obedience unto death, he satisfied divine justice for us. He come out of the grave and went back to the Father, ascended to the Father. We've seen the miracles he did at Jerusalem by faith, by his Spirit, by grace. We've seen those miracles he did, like they did. And so when he came to where they were, they were receptive to him. They were ready to assemble and see him and talk to him and hear him and see more of the gracious works of his hand. That's what it is whenever a believer is planted. When the Word of God's been planted into a believer's heart by Christ the Word, when the Word has spoken the Word and he's implanted his Word in our hearts, we're born of a righteous seed. We're born of an incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Look at 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. This seed can't be corrupted. This word, it's incorruptible, of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's a living Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falleth away. There's no stock to put in us, is it? But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. We saw this in Psalm 9, didn't we? He said that he come down and he worked righteousness in the earth. And he said all his enemies were destroyed. And they thought that they had destroyed him. But the very next word is, but the Lord endureth forever. If you look that word up, some of the old translations have that, the Word. The Word endureth forever. He rose again. He rose again. The Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, you just can't separate the living Word from the written Word, from the preached Word, from Christ's Word. This is essentially united. And this is how faith comes. And this is how faith's grown, by the sincere milk of the Word. Have you heard Him? Have you heard Christ speak? Have you heard Him speak? Have you heard Him speak so as that He's put a desire in your heart to honor Him? So that you don't say, hey, that prophet's not worth hearing. You see, where He's given an earnest desire to hear Him, men want to gather together and hear Him. Men want to assemble. If He's assembled this body together right here, He's here. He's in our midst. If He's assembled the body, He's here. Wherever He's gathered His people together, that's where He is. Where He's gathered them, that's where He is. Now, if you knew Christ was speaking here, would you come and hear Him? Would you honor Him with your presence if you knew He was? Well, that's what He says. He is. Let's give the prophet, let's give Him the honor due to Him. That's why He didn't go to Nazareth. He went where He went here. They honored Him. They gave Him the honor. And He honored them. He came back right to where they were. That's the first thing we see. Honor is due to the prophet, Christ the Lord. He's the Word speaking. Secondly, God heals His children of our unbelief through His Word. Now look at verse 46. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now this man was a nobleman from Capernaum. That means he was an officer of some kind. It means he was well off. He had a house, many servants and so on that he was in charge of. And Capernaum was about 15, 20 miles from there. It was a long distance from there by foot. And Capernaum means a village of comfort. It was a wealthy city where he lived. Very wealthy place. But none of those things had brought him comfort. None of those things had comforted his heart. He didn't really have peace in his heart. You know why? He had a child who was sick. He had a child who was dying. And he knew that child was dying. He knew his child was about to perish out of this earth and meet God. This man knew that. Is there anybody here like that this morning? Is anybody here who has sons or daughters or loved ones who are sick? I mean sin sick. I mean that don't know God. That don't know Him. That are dead in trespasses and in sins. You know, it could be that the Master is doing for you what He did for this man right here. It could be the Master is doing for you, one of His certain elect children, like He did for this certain elect nobleman right here. You see, this nobleman only thought that his son was sick. This nobleman didn't know that he was sick. He didn't know that his whole house was in a desperate condition. He only thought his son was sick. Everybody here that's a parent, everybody here that has a child who doesn't know the Lord, do what this man did. This man, we see this as a picture of coming to the Lord in importunate prayer, coming and pouring out your heart to Him and begging the Lord to have mercy on and to come and save according to His will. Do that. But let's learn something about ourselves here too. There are times when I'm sure that the Lord uses those bodily infirmities of our loved ones. I'm quite sure there's times when He uses some other trial in our lives by His providences. He's wrought, that He's worked. This boy didn't fall ill by accident. This everything that the Lord is doing here, from where He came from to where He came to what He's working here with this nobleman, even to that boy that was sick back there in Capernaum, and that whole house back there. Everything that He's working here, this is God working this. And all of this together is teaching us one full, glorious lesson right here. None of this is to be isolated and just taken apart. We've got to look at all this together. What's He showing us here? He showed us first the importance of the honoring the prophet who speaks this word. Now He's showing us that He heals by this word. And I'm quite sure when those providences come upon us that we have a tendency to, and we should ask our children, ask others what the Lord's teaching them. But don't forget to ask what's the Lord teaching you. What's the Lord teaching me by this? The Lord was dealing with him personally. The Lord was drawing him. He's the focus of this story, not the sick boy. He is. This nobleman is. Verse 47, and when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, that's what he heard. He heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee. And he'd heard about him. He'd heard somebody speaking about him. And he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. I'd like to find somebody wise as this nobleman was. This man was wise. He heard. He went to Christ where he was, and he besought him. He begged him to come down. Have you heard that he's come? Have you heard that the Lord Jesus Christ has come? He has come. Have you heard the miracles that he wrought at Calvary's tree? Have you heard what he has done? Have you besought him? Have you come to him and besought him? Oh, there's a big difference between everything else and coming to him. There's a huge difference. Huge difference. But there was something missing in what this nobleman asked the Lord. There was something amiss here in what he did. Look at verse 47. He besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now the Lord's going to tell us what's wrong. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. The nobleman's son is sick. He's very sick. He's got a bodily fever, bodily disease. He's sick. But it's the nobleman that the Lord's going to heal first. He's going to heal him first. He besought him to come down. Come down there. You know, Christ, the Lord's going to have the preeminence. We're going to buck against him and kick against him and kick against him, but it's not going to do any good. He is going to have the preeminence. We're going to obey him in this life right here when he speaks his word in our heart, and we're going to bow to him by his grace, or we're going to obey him in the day when he says, depart from me. You've been working iniquity in my name and claiming to worship me, and you've never once bowed to me. And in that day, we're going to obey him. We're going to depart. That'll be the first time, if we meet him like that, it'll be the first time that we've ever obeyed him. But we're going to obey him that day. We're going to depart out of his presence. Wouldn't you rather him speak and heal us in our heart right here, right now, today? Heal us of all our unbelief and all our sickness to trust him and him alone? Wouldn't you rather that happen today than to meet him in judgment? Well, he's going to have the preeminence. We're the ones who are going to have to be brought down. You see, the man comes to him and he tells him, not only beseeches him to do this, but he tells him what to do. You're not going to tell Christ what to do. You're not going to command him to do anything. It's just not going to happen, and neither am I. If that's the case, and we think we can, he's going to deal with us like he dealt with this man right here. He's going to very mercifully, very graciously, he's going to teach us. He's going to have the preeminence. We're going to have to be brought down to trust him and his way of saving sinners, and not look to our way, and not look to our understanding of things. The Lord said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The sign and the wonder is this. The sign and the wonder that we're looking at in this text of Scripture is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet, comes to where his child is, and he speaks the word. And when he speaks the word into the heart of his child, he makes his child alive. He speaks faith into the heart. He speaks light. He speaks so that we can do nothing but hear Him, do nothing but believe Him, do nothing but rejoice in Him and delight in Him. When He speaks, He causes us all the pain and all the secret hidden turmoil and all that secret worry and anxiousness and all of that that's really hidden underneath that nice, pretty facade of nobility and that nice, pretty facade of living in the village of comfort and that nice, pretty facade of having all that money could buy and being happy and we got the world by the tail on a downhill drag. He makes all of that that's hidden underneath all that only you know about. He makes all of that to be cast off of you and that yoke taken off your neck that's been burdening you down. And He takes all that on to Him when He speaks this word. I don't know how to explain what faith is. I don't know how to explain what it is to believe God. That's about right now the best I can do is that it's just this huge burden relief that my Lord can be trusted. He speaks and it's so. And He does this by speaking into our hearts effectually. Naaman came to a prophet of the Lord. Just like this man is coming to the Lord Jesus, the prophet, priest, and king, God our Savior. He's come to Him. But it was the same for Naaman when he came to the Lord Jesus' messenger. He came to Him. And when Naaman came to Him, Naaman had it all figured out in his mind. He was a smart man. Naaman was a ruler, and he I'm sure he read up on this prophet and learned everything he could about this prophet before he went down there. And he had everything academically figured out in his mind that this prophet would probably do. He read all the books about him. He inquired about him. He knew everything. And he had in his mind what he thought that prophet was going to do. But you see, what he thought the prophet was going to do was come bowing down at his feet. He thought the prophet was going to come out to him and was going to do some hocus-pocus magic trick and call on his God and cater to this fine man who just happened to be a leper. When in reality, this man was a leper who just happened to have a few things God had given him. That was the reality. But instead, his pride was stained and his dignity was just struck a blow when the prophet wouldn't go out to him. He wouldn't. He sent somebody out to him and said, "Here's the word that's come to you, Naaman. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times. That word was such a despised thing to Naaman. That river Jordan was a despised thing to Naaman. Naaman thought just like most religious people think in our day. Any church is good as the next. Any gospel that's being preached is as good as the next. Just so they're calling God, just so they're calling Christ, just so they're saying some of the key words that I'm listening for, it's all the same. And you'll think that. You will go through this life thinking that. A sinner will go through this life convinced that so, till this prophet busts his heart wide open and makes him hear the truth. I thought it. I thought that. I thought, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. We're all going in the same direction. We're all... I thought he was going to come down to me. But he made me come down to him. He made me bow to him. And he showed me he's got the preeminence. And that's what happened to Naaman. And it offended him to heed the word of God. But you see, most sinners want to be healed. Most everybody wants their children to be saved. That's no big deal. If you just got a little compassion, you have that decency about you. Nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven. You give me the place of laying out under a sunny blue sky in a green field or under a thunder cloud with a storm barreling down on me, I'd take the green field and the blue clouds any day, wouldn't you? Anybody would. But do you want to be with God, God's way, how God says He's going to bring you to Him? That's a whole different thing. An entirely different ball game right there. We can't tell the Lord how He's going to save. Unless Christ speaks the word, until the Holy Spirit enters in and gives us life, gives us faith to truly believe Christ is able and make us willing to believe Him, we'll not be content for God to save in the manner that pleases God. We won't be content. we'll try to change God's Word to fit what we really want. We'll try to make a like a woman who wears a size 12 trying to fit into a size 8. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. But we'll try it. We'll try it. We'll try to make that shoe fit. And it's not going to fit. Just not going to fit. But we'll try. How did it please the Lord to heal this nobleman's unbelief? Look at verse 50. Jesus saith unto him. That's how it pleased him. That's how it pleased him to do it. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way. This man, now think about it. This man's got a son. He got a son in critical condition. And this is the one physician that this man is convinced can heal his son. And this man goes to him, and on one second, he's begging him, you've got to come down here. You've got to come. Just like any physician, you've got to come to his bedside and do this and heal him. And just that fast, the Lord said unto him, go your way, your son's alive. And that fast, this man dropped all his wrangling. He dropped all his commanding. He dropped all of that. He dropped it all and believed him. That's some kind of word, isn't it? Now, you put yourself in his shoes. We're talking about your son is lying at death's door. And this man just says it. And all of a sudden, the clouds rolled back and the sun came out and this man believed the Lord. He believed him. The word came home to his heart in divine, irresistible, sovereign grace. And he believed the Lord. That's what will happen. That's what always happens. He stopped insisting on Christ going down with him, and he firmly believed that his son was alive and well because Christ said he was. He believed the word God spoke. That's how God healed his heart, and he went his way. All right, here's the third thing we see. The Lord is able to save through his word from his throne in glory right now, though he be not present in body with us. That's the third point. The first point is, he's the prophet who deserves honor. Wherever he's assembled, that's where we draw near to. Second point is, he's going to heal through his word. The third point is, he don't have to be present with us in body. He's the omniscient, omnipotent God who's everywhere, and he can speak from where he is. And it's done. He can do the same work he did for this man standing right in front of him without him standing right in front of you. He can do it through this word. Now, John 4:51, let's look at this. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. Now, you see how this father's whole direction's changed now. He was all worried about his son before. The next words out of my mouth, in your mouth, if this was just a carnal happening, and somebody came and said, your son is alive. If our thoughts now and our heart now was still set on the earthy and still set on our son, wouldn't your next thought word out of your mouth be something about, tell me how he is? Tell me, what is he walking? Is he doing? You'd ask something about the boy, wouldn't you? That's not what he was wondering about. He said, what time was he well? Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. This man obviously went home and got him a good night's sleep that night. Probably better than he'd had since his boy got sick. Because he believed God. And he went the next day on his way home. Would you have done that? Or would you have run out, jumped on your camel and took off as you could to get home? He believed God. He believed the word of God. His boy was healed. He wasn't even need to try to drive through the night to get there. But when he got there, he said, when did he start getting well? And they said, a seventh hour yesterday. And it says, so the father knew that it was at the same hour into which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed. Now there's a lot in this little phrase when it says, and himself believed. And himself believed. The nobleman, at first, you know, he believed that Christ had the power to heal his son, but he thought he had to be bodily present to do it. And the Lord cured him of that unbelief, spoke the word and cured it of him, and sends him down there. And he gets down there and he finds out his boy's well, because Christ was able just to speak the word. And he believed. He believed that from God. Now somebody's hearing this right now, and I guarantee you what somebody's thinking, because I know how we self-justify every cussed thing we do. Somebody's sitting here thinking right now, well, he healed that boy without that boy ever hearing the word from him. So I'll just stay home, and maybe God will heal me. I'll go out and do what it is I want to do tomorrow, or next Thursday night, or Sunday morning, whatever. I don't have to hear the gospel. If God's going to save me, he's going to save me. He'll get the word to me. He'll speak it, whatever. He can just cause me to fall down out in the middle of a field one day and just start praising him. He can. He could do that. But if he can do it the way it pleases him and brings more honor to him, he'd do it that way. Because it's the way he said he'd do it. You see, do you think we're given all these details leading right up to this point of how he went unto the midst of the Pharisees and they wanted to argue and try to split John's disciples and his disciples over who did the most baptizing. Do you think we're given that detail that when they started all that at his doctrine, that he just left them and went on, departed out of their midst? You think we're given the detail that he went from there and he went to the woman at the well at Samaria, and it says in verse 39, look there, and he spoke faith into her heart by his word, and it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. She came home and told a bunch of folks what he'd done, and they believed him. And it says, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, then a bunch of them went to where he was. And they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. He preached the gospel to them right there in person, and they believed him. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we've heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. He gave us that detail. Then he leaves there, and he comes into this Galilee, but he says he didn't go to Nazareth because he said in verse 44, for Jesus himself testified, a prophet has no honor in his own country. There's a lot of emphasis from the very first verse of this book, John, about the word and about him going and speaking the word and sending somebody to speak the word and about him coming and not going to a place because he wasn't honored as the prophet. And then we come down to where here we got this detail of this nobleman that heard. The word says here, he heard. When he heard, verse 47, that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down. And then we read here, then Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And then Jesus said unto him in verse 50, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed. We got all these details about the word, the word, the word. You see, that boy who was sick, that's not the point of the message. That's not the point of the story. That's not the point of it. Here's the point of it. The fact is, his whole house, all his servants and all of them that were around his sick son back in Capernaum, the only thing they knew was that his son's fever had broken. And they were going out to meet this boy's father to tell him, your son's fever's broken. And he's not dying anymore. They went out to tell him this. That's all they knew. They just saw it, just like you would see it. That's all they knew. They didn't have any idea what happened between the nobleman and Christ. They didn't know anything about this good news of what Christ had done and could do. But when that father met his servants, and they said, your boy got well yesterday, the seventh hour, he inquired, what hour was it? They said it was the seventh hour. And he thought, his heart just overflowed at the amazement of Christ, and he believed himself. And what do you think this man went to talking about to those people? What do you think he started telling them? What do you think? What would you tell them? I was with Jesus Christ yesterday. And this same hour, I thought he had to come down here and do this. And this same hour, he spoke his word. And when he spoke the word, that's the hour that you told me my son began to be healed from his bodily sickness. And as he sat there and told them this, this good news of Christ Jesus, the gospel of Christ Jesus the Lord. You know what Christ Jesus did for all those in his house? Look at the end of verse 53. And his whole house believed. How? Through the word. This man went, told them what he did in his whole house. And Christ saved, he didn't just save them from having a stumped toe. He saved them in their heart. He saved them, their soul. And they believed God. They believed him. And just in case we don't realize that's what we're talking about here, and that's the case, just in case anybody's in doubt, look at verse 54. It reminds us again of that other miracle. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. That first one was when he turned the water into wine. There's a lot of pictures in that. But let me tell you what there's one picture of that I know. There's a picture in that of an earthen vessel who was nothing and nobody, though he thought he was a noble man, who was as empty as he could be, who was drawn through God's providence to hear Christ speak the word. And the water of the word filled his heart by God the Holy Spirit. And that water that filled his heart, the water of the word, turned into wine within him. He beheld the glorious Savior in Christ Jesus the Lord. He beheld the blood that's able to heal the soul and the unbelief and save a sinner from hell and from the clutches of death and present him faultless into the very presence of God. And that earthen vessel who had no power within himself, just like those pots that they used on that day of Cana, that earthen vessel took off back down the next day. And when he met his servants, he spilled out this water and turned into wine. And when he did, the Lord filled those others with it. And they drank of it, and it made their hearts merry through the Holy Spirit. And they rejoiced in it too. Just like that wedding wine. And they said, well, that nobleman said, he saved the best wine to last. I've had some mighty good wine in this world. But he's come now and he showed me his sovereign redeeming grace and he's made me rejoice in his own blood. That's what we see and pictured in that turning that water into wine at Cana. Just the same thing he did right here. The sinner's empty like the water pots. The sinner receives the water of the written word at the command of Christ. The water produces the best wine by the power of Christ. The change wrought in the new birth is a miracle of grace as clearly miraculous as the water being turned into wine. The miracle manifested forth his glory, and the governor proclaimed it to be the best wine as truly as his grace and redemption is far better than the best this world can give. Remember these three things. We see the importance of heeding Christ's gospel. He said, a prophet's not without honor, save in his own country. Sometimes we get too familiar. Those where he grew up were just too familiar with him. They thought they knew everything about him. They thought they had it all understood, and they despised him because of it. We need to hear Christ the prophet. Give him the honor that's due. Secondly, Christ gives faith when he speaks the word into our hearts. Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word Jesus had spoken and went his way. And thirdly, remember, Christ works this miracle of grace from heaven's glory without his being present right here in body in our midst. He works it through the Spirit of God, through his gospel, giving faith through those he's already called, just like he did this man. And he makes the whole house believe. Would it be something if that's why your child and my child is sick? That God's just drawing us to trust Him, to heed His gospel, to have our attention fully set on Him preeminently in everything we do. Wouldn't it be amazing if that's really what the whole thing's been about? And wouldn't it be amazing after God teaches us that if He saved our house? Wouldn't it? He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in all thy house." Our gospel. This, you know what happened to that man? What Paul said, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." That's what happened to that man. That's how the gospel comes. Hey, that's why he said this gospel must be published among all nations. That's why he said, "Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's why Paul said, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, a sign's not for them that believe, Paul said. A sign's for them that believe not. He's going to work this sign without you, before you ever believe Him. He's going to work this sign in your heart by the miracle of His grace through His Spirit. And then you're going to believe. And you're going to hear His Word. Then you're going to hear what He's been saying. Because prophecy's not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I hope the Word speaks the Word today. I hope we hear the prophet speak. We'll be joyful. We'll be rejoicing. Amen.